Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, March 10th. You're listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Trey Scott. Today on the episode, we're going to be talking to Cody Nagel of 24/7 Sports' Go Pokes website that he covers Oklahoma State Cowboys. If you didn't know the Pokes reference, and it's an interesting conversation because there's a lot to get to. A lot of people had Oklahoma State as a playoff team last year, or at least a playoff dark horse. And by a lot of people, I mean some pretty smart people. Former colleague Barton Simmons had Oklahoma State making the playoff. They didn't even make the Big 12 title game, which I thought could be a bare minimum expectation for them. They did win the Cheez-It Bowl against Miami, but I think all in all, especially when you factor in Mike Gundy's horrible offseason, the near player mutiny face, the fact that Chuba Hubbard went from Heisman candidate to often injured and you know, low impact running back for the Cowboys, just wasn't what they wanted in 2020. And when you're a team like Oklahoma State, when you're a mid-tier team, and I don't mean that with any offense, but when you're a mid-tier team, you don't have a championship window every single season. It's every few years when your stars are older and experienced and you've got that chemistry and that connection between them. And when you don't capitalize on your window, the next few years, you know, a little bit of a step back as you find your next wave of stars. So Oklahoma State still got quarterback Spencer Sanders, but hey, even he, perfect embodiment for Oklahoma State football in 2020. Spencer Sanders was a disappointment. So was the team. Mike Gundy as a head coach and leader of the program was disappointing too. So we'll get to that conversation with Cody in just a second. We'll start with the news. Monday night's news, late Monday night, in bed, reading a book, saw the push notification. I also had my iPad out because that's how I got the push notification that Les Miles and the Kansas Jayhawks had agreed to part ways. And this was no surprise. I mean, you listened to the podcast Monday I did with Scott Chasen, 24/7 Sports Kansas reporter. The writing was on the wall. Les Miles was already on paid administrative leave following USA Today's reporting last week that alleged Miles inappropriately behaved towards female students during his time as LSU's head coach. And yes, Les Miles was Oklahoma State's head coach before Mike Gundy was. So that's pure irony that these two events are happening at the same time on the College Football Daily. But for all the headaches that Les Miles has given Kansas in the last week, I mean, he went 3-18 in his entire tenure. Pretty horrible, a pretty emphatic dud of a way for Les Miles to almost assuredly end his career as a college football coach. He did, if you know, ask Scott Chasen or ask any Kansas fan, he did turn around the roster situation that had been just absolutely depleted with Charlie Weiss's glut of JUCO additions. And that's pretty much the only good thing Les Miles did at Kansas. Everything else was a disaster. And we'll see where the Jayhawks go. Chris Hummer, 24/7 Sports writer, he wrote a column stumping for Willie Fritz, the Tulane head coach, who has a ton of Midwest connections and an ingenious offense and, you know, the ability to get the most out of players who might not be recruited by the biggest schools. And that's what Kansas needs. We might say, okay, Kansas, they're the worst college football Power 5 program in the last 10 years. And it's very true, but I don't think it's totally hopeless. I mean, you look at a few of their contemporaries. Iowa State was in a similar position before Matt Campbell was hired. Kansas State, a very long time ago, was in a similar position before Bill Snyder was hired. Look at what happened to both of those programs. Kansas can get back, but they're going to have to make a good head coaching hire. And as for Les Miles, really fascinated to see what happens to him. And, you know, does he do a media junket and, you know, write a book or do an apology tour? One of the bigger personalities in our era of college football. And he's going to limp out, tail between his legs, in Lawrence, Kansas on a Monday night. All right, speaking of Kansas and speaking of Oklahoma State, both of those teams are really good college basketball teams this year, right? And at CBS, well, they've asked me, and I'm happy to oblige, to read a little about a promotion they're going to do for college basketball fans. And Oklahoma State fans, I'm talking to you, Cade Cunningham, Big 12 Player of the Year, a likely 4 seed in next week's NCAA tournament. Disclaimer, I am picking Oklahoma State to make the Final Four, pending two things. They are not in the same bracket as Gonzaga, and Cade Cunningham's ankle this week in Kansas City looks okay. If he looks fine, and if Gonzaga's not in Oklahoma State's bracket, I'm picking the Cowboys to the Final Four. That's my pick for now, and that's how I plan to dominate my bracket, but here's how you can too. So all college football fans, March Madness is right around the corner, and to help you get prepared to dominate your bracket, Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander of the Ion College Basketball Podcast are hosting a fun and interactive bracket engineer event presented by Nissan. Join our college basketball experts along with special guest Kenny the Jet Smith on Monday, March 15th at 5 p.m. Eastern for an hour-long Zoom call as they give you the insights needed to engineer the perfect bracket and dominate this year's event. Register now for your chance to join the special event by clicking the sign-up link in the description of this episode. Again, enter for your chance to join this special event by clicking the sign-up link in the description of this episode. I think that's the first time I've ever gotten to read out one of the live read ads. So that was a career highlight of mine. Thank you, everyone, going and participating in that. I know I will be, and I will be picking Oklahoma State. And speaking again of Oklahoma State, after a quick break, we're talking to Cody Nagel about the football team. The College Football Daily will be right back.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, bringing in Cody Nagel right now. Cody, honest answers only. Oklahoma State missed its title window in 2020, and the next few years see the Cowboys likely rebuilding.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a rebuild, but I don't want to rule out that chance that maybe they kind of sneak into a contention for the Big 12 title. Obviously, last year was the season to win the Big 12. Everything was lined up for OSU to get to the title game, but obviously, once again, Oklahoma State couldn't beat OU as Gundy now drops to 2-14 against the Sooners as head coach in Stillwater. Can OSU compete for the conference title this next season? Maybe. Obviously, OU is going to be in the title game. You can pretty much just fill them in now, in my opinion. Iowa State's probably the other favorite, but let's say that Iowa State deals with injuries and loses a game that maybe they shouldn't, sort of like OSU did last year, and OSU obviously would have to beat Iowa State next year. I don't think it's too far of a stretch to think the Cowboys could find a way of getting to Arlington. Now, the other team you have to think about is Texas, but I don't think we really know what to expect from them as far as being in year one with Steve Sarkisian. But if OSU is going to compete for a conference title, Spencer Sanders obviously has to take that next step and limit his turnovers at quarterback.
I keep waiting for Spencer Sanders to do that. Chris Hummer did a feature on him last summer. You know, he's got some homes in him. You know, Texas kid, similar frame, but Spencer's like, I gotta stop trying to make those plays happen. And he still did it. Before all the OAN stuff with Mike Gundy and the Chuba Hubbard, I had Mike Gundy on the podcast last year around this time. I was talking to him about being the winner of the offseason because, you know, at that point, COVID hadn't hit yet. Things were still normal and he had returned Chuba Hubbard. He was looking and it was looking really good. And he said something interesting. He was like, look, unless you're recruiting at a top 10 level every year, you're going to go through cycles as a mid-market program where every third year, that's your year. Like you've got a rising group of upperclassmen. You hopefully have an experienced quarterback by then. You've got everything falling into place. And then the years other than that, like you just kind of hope your fan base understands that it might be more of a lean year. I think the genius of what Oklahoma State has been under Mike Gundy is maybe not so much recently, Cody, but like for so long, there just weren't lean years. I mean, he won 10 games 3 years in a row from 2015 through 2017. 2018, like you can excuse a 7-6 season, because you're on one of your off years. And then 2019, you got a new quarterback, Spencer Sanders. But I really thought that 2020, like, they were a top 10 team. They were a playoff, like, dark horse that people were really talking themselves into. And you mentioned Spencer Sanders' turnovers, and Mike Gundy had a horrific offseason. Chuba Hubbard wasn't healthy. Is there like one thing you can point to as to why last season was not the year we thought it would be?
I mean, they dealt with a lot of injuries. I mean, I know obviously every team, something comes up for a team every year, but you think about the offensive line, they had two starters go down within the first quarter against Tulsa in the season opener, plus Spencer Sanders, he got hurt in the opening quarter too. Chuba Hubbard was banged up all year. Tylan Wallace wasn't really 100%. Their defensive secondary was banged up a lot. They weren't 100%. I mean, you hate to use that excuse of injuries, kept them from winning a Big 12 title. But when you think about all of them that they had, I mean, it was quite a bit. And especially for your star guys like Chuba Hubbard and Tylan Wallace, and even Spencer Sanders missed a few games too. So, I think that was probably their biggest setback. I mean, still, they were right there with, you go back to that Texas game where they go into overtime. If they win that one, I mean, they were number six at that point. If they win that, I mean, maybe creeping into top five. I mean, then you're surely in the discussion for, the playoff. If you can get past OU, which they still, for some reason, can't seem to find a way to beat OU when they're even on their quote unquote down years. But yeah, I would say that the injuries were just the biggest thing that hurt them.
Well, they're not the only one in the Big 12 who can't beat OU, even when it looks like it should be the year. So I definitely want to learn about all the new faces for Oklahoma State in like 2 seconds. But I want to stick with Gundy. How do you think last offseason affected him and his relationship with his players? Do you think he might be, a little fresh air now that he got through the season? He has a chance to start anew with an entire incoming crop of kids and get to know some players who might look at him with fresher eyes. How do you think he came out of all that?
I mean, he said that there was improvements. I mean, you talked to all have the availability with the players, and we'd ask them, have you seen improvements and stuff? And everyone would say, things are better, the communication's better, none of that's an issue anymore. And I mean, how much of that is them just saying that? I don't know. It seemed to be better. I know there's still some issues with, former players and stuff that, I've said some stuff on Twitter and whatnot that sort of makes it seem like, the connection with former players isn't maybe as great as it should be. But I mean, I think for the most part, they've tried to put all that behind them and, learn from it, get better from it, move on. I don't think it seems to be as big of an issue with the players that are currently there right now, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. It was for sure an awkward year for Oklahoma State. And then with Mike Holder, the athletic director, stepping down after 16 seasons, I know him and Gundy have at times been at odds. Does this change any sort of short-term, long-term outlook for how long Mike Gundy's going to be coaching his alma mater in Stillwater, the Mike Holder departure?
I mean, I think it all depends on, obviously, Chad Weiberg, who's going to take over in July, I believe. He's been around the athletic department. He's been around Gundy. He was Mike Holder's number two. I think it all depends on, and they're getting a new president too. So that's something you also have to add in. How much do they put up with, let's say there is something else that comes up as far as Gundy, he says something he shouldn't, wears something he shouldn't, how much of a leash does he have with the new administration as far as all that? I don't think at least from what I've heard, Gundy's relationship with Weiberg seems to be good. So I don't think it's, like you said, the relationship with Gundy and Holder was a little iffy. Some things were said that maybe caused some bad feelings or whatever here and there. But I think it just all comes down to what's the new administration's leash as far as Gundy, if he does something he shouldn't again.
Tell me what this team looks like in 2021. So Spencer Sanders, we assume he'll keep his job over Shane Alienworth, who was a true freshman last year and played pretty well in spurts. But I think Sanders is the guy you got to keep rolling with. Chuba's gone. Tylan Wallace is gone. You're telling me offensive line's up in the air, but who are some of the new, and then defensively, of course, they've really been improving. Who are some of the new guys who are, hopefully going to be waving the wheat this fall?
So the running back room, I think, is going to be, by committee. LD Brown is back for another year. He took advantage of the extra eligibility. And then OSU also has two guys that had, you know, breakout performances late in the season. Desmond Jackson, former JUCO transfer. He had 235 yards and 3 touchdowns against Texas Tech. And then Dominic Richardson, he was a true freshman last year too. He had 169 yards and 3 touchdowns against Baylor in the regular season finale. I mean, you put either of those three guys out there, I think they're capable of the starting job. So, you know, that's a solid trio there. Receiver, you know, you talked about Tylan Wallace being gone. There's still sort of a question of who's going to be that main target, who takes over, you know, Spencer Sanders' go-to guy, if you would say. I think Tay Martin is a guy that could maybe step up into that. Also took advantage of the extra eligibility. You know, he got more looks late in the season when Wallace was sidelined. But the guy that probably has the most hype surrounding him on offense is Brendan Presley. You know, dynamic, speedy receiver. He had a breakout performance in the Cheez-It Bowl, also had 3 touchdowns in 1 game. This is probably a lofty comparison, but I think OSU needs to use him sort of like Kansas City Chiefs use Tyreek Hill. I mean, you have to figure out a way to get him the ball as many plays as possible and just let him do what he can in the open field.
That's interesting that you brought that up. I think people forget Tyreek Hill was at Oklahoma State for a year before his first of many issues, we'll say. Brendan Presley, has Gundy mentioned like using him? And I'm looking at him up right now, Cody, 5'7.5", 160 pounds. Oh my goodness. Like has the Tyreek Hill comparison, has that been uttered by Gundy, or is that just a fan
it's
message
more
board
been,
thing?
Yeah, it's more been uttered by, I think more people are surprised he wasn't used more early in the season last year. It was sort of like, okay, when are we going to see him get out there? When is he, you know, going to get targets, and when is he going to get, you know, more snaps? But it wasn't until later in the year, and especially the bowl game, that he, you know, finally got a lot of action out there. I mean, to me, he just has that Tyreek Hill capability of get him the ball in open field. He can make people miss. He can, you know, like I said, he's dynamic, he's speedy, he's shifty. So yeah, he's definitely the guy that's got the most hype surrounding him right now.
All right. So I'm looking at this 2021 schedule. Missouri State win. Tulsa, and it's way too close last year, but Tulsa loses a decent amount. Win at Boise State. Fun game. That'd be fun. You should try to go to that up in Boise.
Ooh, I'd love to go to that game.
Yeah, that's gonna be a little tricky, but it's a new coach for Boise State. Hank Bachmeyer versus Spencer Sanders, kind of fun. Kansas State the next week, you never know, should be a win. Baylor the next week, also never know, but Baylor wasn't very good last year, should be a win. All that's to say is, you know, we're talking about Oklahoma State not capitalizing on their window, and you know, they were number 6 at one point last year and on Halloween, and then lost to Texas. I'm not ruling out a 5-0 start with a trip to Austin, Texas on October 16th to really tell us how the season's really going to turn out. And the schedule is really tough the back half of the year. But for a team that has to replace a lot, I don't know if you could script a better start to it.
Oh, no. Yeah, you definitely like the way the schedule shapes out as far as the beginning. But like you said, the middle half and the back half is definitely going to be tough. You know, you talk about back-to-back road games at Texas, and then they have to turn around and go at Iowa State. You know, those will be two huge games. But if you can find a way to split those maybe, and then somehow get to the end of the season with one loss and you're facing OU for Bedlam in the season finale, and maybe find a way to pull off an upset there. That's why I just can't seem to like rule out them like not being a contender for a Big 12 title, just because there's just that like possibility that Iowa State has injuries, or maybe they lose a game here and there that they're not supposed to. And obviously Texas has a lot of talent, and Steve Sarkisian, I mean, should be a good head coach there. But year one, you never really know how things are gonna work out.
I don't disagree with you. I love the I love the optimism that a spring football, as Oklahoma State gets going, that spring football can give you. And you keep talking about Iowa State, and you want to like find a reason that they couldn't be as good. I think it's just as simple as they've got a target on their back. They've never ever been in that position before. We'll see how it goes. It's not going to be late in the season, but when Oklahoma State plays Iowa State, it'll be October 23rd. But it would, if Iowa State's undefeated and top 5, and Oklahoma State enacts revenge for its 2011, 20, or maybe 20, I think it was 2011.
2011. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. The shocker. I think that'd be, pretty interesting role reversal. Cody Nagel, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
Okay, appreciate Cody Nagel for joining us. He was very busy on Tuesday covering a commitment for Oklahoma State as well. They have the number 10 recruiting class in the class of 2022. Certainly won't hold for now, but number 10 is pretty good. And again, do not forget, check out our show notes, Bracket Engineer presented by Nissan, Monday, March 15th, 5 Eastern for 1 hour, a live Zoom, Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander. Also joined by Kenny Smith, a fun, interactive experience on how to dominate your bracket. Again, I'm going Cowboys. Our producer is Lance Lynn. He's going Rutgers, but they won't make it, I don't think. Maybe they will. I got to check out Bracketology more. We'll talk to y'all next time on the College Football Daily.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.